donate.
You're a pretty smart kid. You know that?
Yeah, I know. So can we? I've got allowance money.
All right, let's do it.
A Village can open doors for families facing homelessness. Visit avillagecan.ca to donate today.
You know that you always get a great price on premium used vehicles at House of Cars, but now you can get even more. Don't miss the amazing giveaway happening now at House of Cars. There are weekly draws for incredible prizes, barbecues, TVs, Yeti mugs and coolers, remote starters and more. Plus, you could win the grand prize of 10 grand. No strings attached and no purchase necessary. Enter in person at House of Cars. Find the location closest to you and shop for your new ride at houseofcars.com.
Want to hear us on your Amazon Echo device? Simply say, Alexa, play QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Thomas Dias. It's 24 degrees at 4 o'clock. Prime Minister Mark Carney says he plans to move briskly on his governing agenda when Parliament opens this week. Carney outlined his legislative agenda to his Liberal caucus this afternoon in a speech meant to rally the troops. Carney vowed to quickly bring in measures to make life more affordable, along with new legislation to remove internal trade barriers and fast-track infrastructure projects to help boost the economy.
We will deliver these mandates with urgency and determination. We are going to get going from minute one.
Carney says his first priority will be delivering a tax cut he promised during the election campaign. He plans to slash the lowest income bracket by 1 point. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre met with his caucus today, saying conservatives need to keep fighting for the issues they ran on during the campaign, like cutting taxes and cracking down on crime. Poilievre says Canadians who voted conservative deserve to have their voices heard in Parliament.
They voted for hope, for a change. And while we narrowly missed forming government, we now have every duty to fulfill that hope and fight for that change. And that change means that Canada that is affordable, safe, self-reliant, and united.
Poilievre also signaled he would be willing to cooperate with the Liberals to bring an end to Canada's trade dispute with the U.S. And King Charles and Queen Camilla will soon be in Canada for a two-day royal visit. That's already being called historic. As Sarah Ritchie reports, the King is set to open Parliament Tuesday morning.
A speech from the throne is intended to signal the government's plans for a new legislative session. This throne speech on Tuesday is meant to send a strong signal beyond our borders because King Charles will be reading the speech as our head of state. Historian and royal commentator Carolyn Harris says it's a showcase of Canada's constitutional monarchy in action and a direct response to U.S. President Donald Trump's threats to make Canada the 51st state. The King and Queen are expected to draw large crowds to downtown Ottawa. Robert Finch, the chairman of the Monarchist League of Canada, says all of this is driving a revival of interest in the monarchy. Sarah Ritchie, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
In sports, the Oilers have been going back at it with the Dallas Stars, this time at Rogers Place in Edmonton, with the NHL West Final tied at a game apiece. And the Oilers are in control. They were up 6-1 with under 3 minutes to go in the third period. In men's soccer, the Cavalry FC are busy deciding matters with Winnipeg's Valor FC at ATCO Field. The Cavs were up 1-0 in the 43rd minute. On the women's side of things, the Calgary Wild had to settle for a 1-1 draw with Vancouver yesterday. In Canadian elite basketball, the 2-1 Calgary Surge are playing their season home opener today at the Winsport Event Center against the 1-1 Winnipeg Sea Bears in the second half of a home-and-home series. The Surge are looking for back-to-back victories over the Sea Bears after coming out on top 98-86 in Winnipeg on Friday. When it comes to the NBA playoffs, the Knicks need a big win on the road tonight as they get set to visit the Indiana Pacers, who have a 2-0 lead in the NBA East Finals after winning both games in New York. And the Tampa Bay Rays routed the Toronto Blue Jays 13-0 today for a 5-game winning streak and their second series sweep this season. Global News Sky Tracker weather, a clear sky overnight with a low of 12 degrees. Tomorrow starts off sunny with a risk of late day showers and thunderstorms and a high of 27 now expected. Sunny and 26 Tuesday, 28 Wednesday. It's 24 degrees. Breaking news when it happens, your next scheduled newscast at 4:30. I'm Thomas Dias.
Explore Calgary's best rentals. Book your showing today at renttruman.com. Live better. Rent Truman.
Exploring the good, the bad, and the weird. This is Canadian History X with Craig Baird on QR Calgary.
Since its debut in 1897, a Canadian has won the Boston Marathon 22 times. Ronald McDonald of Halifax won the prestigious race in 1898, while Jack Caffery of Hamilton won it twice in 1900 and 1901. Johnny Miles, also of Halifax, won it in 1926 and 1929, and Gerard Côté of Montreal won it four times in 1940, 1943, 1944, and 1948. But perhaps the greatest Canadian winner won it only once. In 1907, a young man from the Six Nations Reserve crossed the finish line in record time. But his story is so much more than that one historic race. I'm Craig Baird, this is Canadian History X, and today we are going the distance as we run alongside the Bulldog of Britannia. This is the story of Tom Longboat. Among the Haudenosaunee, distance running was an important part of their culture. It meant much more than competing in a race against others or time. It was a way of life. Through long-distance running, the Haudenosaunee gathered information about other nations, carried messages such as stringed wampum, and brought councils together. Haudenosaunee runners were honored and respected within the community. Within their traditional territory emerged the oldest long-distance road race in North America, the Around the Bay Road Race. First held on Christmas Day in 1894, it was the brainchild of Hamilton Herald newspaper and cigar store owner Bill Carroll. That first year, 13 racers ran 31 kilometers around the Hamilton Harbor. Billy Marshall won and earned a $25 silver cup and some cigars. About 25 kilometers southwest, though, an 8-year-old boy realized he had a gift and a love for running. Tom Longboat was born on the Six Nation Reserve on June 4, 1886, and was the middle child of George and Elizabeth Longboat, sandwiched between older sister Lucy and younger brother Simon. As soon as Longboat could walk, he was running. He ran amongst the cows on his family's farm. He raced his mother's wagon 40 kilometers from Hamilton to Brantford. To paraphrase Forrest Gump, if Longboat was going somewhere, he was running. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. Before he could turn his passion into lasting fame, he had to get through some rough seas. When he was 5, his father died, leaving his mother alone to raise the family, and times were tough as they were often on the brink of poverty. But they persevered, for the most part, until Longboat turned 12, and he was torn from his family and thrown into Mohawk Institute Residential School in Brantford. First opened in 1831, it's one of the oldest residential schools in Canada. Government policy forced Indigenous children to be taken from their families and placed in institutions where they were forbidden to speak their language, practice traditional beliefs, and were forced to convert to Christianity. The goal was forced assimilation and was nothing short of cultural genocide. Emotional, physical, and sexual abuse was common at the school, and the food was so bad students called school the mushhole. The Mohawk Institute Residential School would operate until 1970, long outliving one of its most famous alumni, Tom Longboat. For Longboat, his life at the school was one of the worst periods of his life. And to escape, Longboat did what he did best. He ran. The first time he ran away, he was caught and returned to the school. When he could, Longboat ran away again. This time, he was able to escape the clutches of the residential school system and went to live with his uncle. Years later, when he was famous, Longboat was asked to speak to students at the school, and he gave a simple response: "I wouldn't even send my dog to that place." Away from the residential school system, Longboat continued to run out of passion for it, since he didn't see a path to fame and fortune through it. For him, it was just something he did. That changed in 1901 when he was 15 and Bill Davis from the Six Nation Reserve finished second in the Boston Marathon. Suddenly for Longboat, running could be a lot more. It could be a way of life. On Victoria Day 1905, Longboat ran in his first race in Caledonia, Ontario. The 19-year-old finished second. After that race, he began to train under Bill Davis, and a few months later, he ran in the prestigious Around the Bay Road Race in 1906. And this time, he won. defeating his closest competitor by 3 minutes and nearly breaking record time in the process. The Ottawa Herald wrote of his race. Marsh was the pacemaker in the early part of the race, but right behind him was Longboat, who occasionally shot to the front just to test his speed. They alternated as pacemakers until the Stone Road Junction was reached, when Longboat decided that the time had come for him to cut loose. He left Marsh as if he had been standing. With a major race under his belt, he set his sights on conquering one of the most famous races in North America, the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon owes its creation to the first Summer Olympics in 1896, where a special race was invented as part of the athletics program. 17 athletes from 5 nations competed, and it was the crowning jewel of the Games, which sparked an international interest in running. On April 19, 1897, the first Boston Marathon was held and won by John J.J. McDermott. From the onset, Canadians did well. In the first 10 Boston Marathons, 2 Canadians, Ronald McDonald and Jack Caffery, won 3 times. And by the time the 11th Marathon rolled around in 1907, Tom Longboat was ready. He would cement his name in history by following in the footsteps of his mentor, Bill Davis. But he wasn't looking to finish second. He wanted to win. 1907, the Boston Marathon was already a major event which brought out the best runners in North America, and it would take 13 more years before Carl Linder of Greece ended North America's dominance of the race in 1920. Longboat was just one of 124 athletes at the starting line, which was a lot for 1907, but a drop in the bucket in 2024 when 30,000 people took part in the marathon. Jack Caffery held the record of running the 26.2 mile or 42.2 kilometer race in 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds. He said it during his second win in 1901, and it held until the day Longboat hoped to not only win the marathon, but also give that record a run for its money. But Longboat wasn't feeling his best. He'd been battling a cold, and the prospect of running through the rainy day was not terribly appealing. Regardless, destiny called and Longboat answered. As the race began, the leading group, which included Longboat, crossed the tracks just before a freight train passed, which left 114 runners behind. And while waiting for the train to pass, the runners ran in circles. In those days, things were much less organized, and marathon runners competed alongside trains, automobiles, horse-drawn carriages, and bicycles on the route. For much of the early part of the race, Longboat was in ninth place as he struggled through the rain and wind. But then, Longboat suddenly lengthened his stride and began to overtake those in front of him. At 1 hour 20 minutes, Longboat entered first place. As he entered the most difficult portion of the race, he was said to have sailed up the hill so fast, it was as if he was running on level ground. With each stride, he widened the gap between himself and the competition, and as he reached the top of the last incline, his closest competitor had not even reached the bottom of it. Tom Longboat crossed the finish line of the race at 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 24 seconds. This was 5 minutes faster than the record from 1901, and it would be another 4 years before anyone else ran a faster time. So what did he do after winning the Boston Marathon? Tom Longboat immediately went to the Boston Athletic Association's gymnasium and ran on the small indoor track. After 2 cool-down laps, members of the club and his manager, Charles Ashley, asked him to stop so he could have the mandatory physical examination. Longboat instead walked a few more laps before he finally agreed to see the doctor. When questioned by reporters, Longboat stated, without boasting, that it was warmer the day before, and if he ran on that day, he would have recorded a better time. The Ottawa Citizen reported on his win, stating, Longboat running as steadily as if on a practice canter, his long legs eating up yards at every step, was given a terrific reception as he breasted the tape. He was the favorite, and many bets were placed on him at even money. All the Canadians, nevertheless, made credible showings. But not everybody was a fan. As soon as Longboat crossed the finish line, Americans accused him of jobbing or using performance-enhancing drugs. This was not an accusation they levied at any of the other previous winners of the Boston Marathon, including Canadians Ronald McDonald and Jack Caffery. It came down to the fact that Longboat was an Indigenous man, and the racist attitudes of the time meant many could not accept that he had won the race against white racers fair and square. The story of Tom Longboat is a fascinating one, and when we come back, we will continue our look at the man who became world famous for his amazing athletic abilities on the track.
You're listening to Canadian History X on QR Calgary.
The government says big business will fix our health care, but it's already making it worse. Public dollars should go to public services, not private pockets. For-profit health care isn't a solution. It's a problem. Together, we can make it better here. A message from United Nurses of Alberta. Learn more at neednurses.ca. That website is neednurses.ca.
Living with diabetes? Think pharmacist. Your pharmacist can help make it easier and, if appropriate, offer services like on-site A1C average blood sugar testing, lifestyle support, and more. Book an appointment today at shoppersdrugmart.ca/diabetes.
Live healthy, live happy, live in a loving community. Welcome to the Manor Village, a place where seniors have fun together while living a full life. The Manor Village is more than a beautiful residence. They surround seniors with wonderful people that treat your loved ones with respect, kindness, and care. Experience elevated senior living with fitness and entertainment programs, Red Seal culinary experiences, and more. Manor Village, the community with heart. See all 9 locations and schedule your tour at themanorvillage.com.
The Knee Clinic is Alberta's only private knee clinic. They'll have your knee issue assessed by one of their specialists in days without the need for a doctor's referral. Stop waiting. Stop guessing. Call 403-457-KNEE or visit kneeclinic.ca.
The best high-concept sci-fi rigmarole in the universe is back.
What the hell? Oh, shit. How long was I out?
Close airlock 7!
Seth, please let me out.
Rick put you in there for a reason, Steve.
Come on, just
get back here! This is for your own good!
Rick and Morty, new season tonight on Adult Swim. Stream on Stack TV.
Get your mouth round it.
Hey, Dad, did you know when a village comes together, we can do amazing things?
Tonight on Adult Swim. Stream on Stack TV.
Get your mouth round it.
Hey, Dad, did you know when a village comes together, we can do amazing things?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like helping families have a safe place to stay and letting kids like me just be kids.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about In From the Cold. We learned about it at school. They're matching donations until June 8th.
Sounds like you've been doing your homework.
Maybe a little. We should donate.
You're a pretty smart kid. You know that?
Yeah. I know. So can we? I've got allowance money.
All right, let's do it.
A village can open doors for families facing homelessness. Visit avillagecan.ca to donate today.
Les Jardins Condos by Jamin Built, an exclusive condo community next to Quarry Park, now with new, lower pricing on all move-in ready suites. Luxury 1 and 2 bedroom condos available from the 320s, situated on a 2-acre central garden. Experience high-end interior finishings, air conditioning, smart home technology, solar panels, and a state-of-the-art fitness center. Hurry, at this price, they won't last long. Tour our move-in ready suites, jamin.com/lesjardins.
Let's go, girls.
QR Calgary welcomes Shania Twain to the Calgary Stampede on Saturday, July 5th.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Tickets are on sale now, but QR Calgary has your shot at scoring your way there.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me.
Listen to Morning Brew with Andrew or enter at QRCalgary.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shania this Calgary Stampede.
Taking a deep dive into our country's beautiful, dark, and sometimes totally bizarre past. This is Canadian History X with Craig Baird on QR Calgary.
Let's return to our story of Tom Longboat, one of the greatest athletes and possibly the greatest marathon runner Canada has ever produced. But Canadians, it seemed, couldn't have been happier to see Longboat defeat Americans on their own turf. The Montreal Gazette wrote, "The people have liked to see an Indian win. They may be superior folk who think that it is no great thing to be a champion runner or football player or oarsman, but the popular vote is against them. We glory in our athletes in this northern clime." Longboat's journey back to Canada was covered by newspapers, and a massive reception was planned in Toronto upon his arrival on April 23rd. But as he approached, Toronto City Council voted not to present Longboat with the traditional cabinet of silver given to other champion athletes. Instead, they voted to give him $500 to put towards an education in partnership with the YMCA. This fit with the racist beliefs that First Nations people were uneducated and needed the help of white settlers to succeed. The Toronto Star wrote, YMCA Secretary J.W. Hopkins agreed, remarking that Longboat has particularly only a third book education, but has the capability of learning. And if you're wondering, yeah, Longboat never even received that $500 either. Longboat would face adversity even before he arrived in Toronto, too. He was delayed at the border because of the bronze statue of Mercury, the Roman messenger god known for his winged feet, who was often associated with running. The statue had been seized by customs agents because a duty had not been paid on it, and appeals fell on deaf ears. The agent had never heard of the Boston Marathon or Tom Longboat, and it was only after the customs chief, a Mr. Boyle, was called that the statue was allowed to pass through customs without a duty. Once on Canadian soil, Longboat's train seemed to start. Boyle was called that the statue was allowed to pass through customs without a duty. Once on Canadian soil, Longboat's train seemed to stop at nearly every community in southern Ontario on its way to Toronto. At each stop, there were requests to see him race. The city of Woodstock offered him a $100 watch or a diamond ring to run a 10-mile race on Victoria Day. Longboat's manager, Charles Ashley, stated that there had been at least 15 requests to race, but Longboat had no intention of running anytime soon. Instead, he wanted to go back to the Six Nations Reserve to see the runners there, many of whom he considered to be better than himself. Longboat said, I am not the champion runner of the Six Nations, you know. They have faster men than I am there, but they haven't sand enough to run a long race. When they see me start, they quit. If they wouldn't quit, they would beat me. I'm going up there to pick out another good Indian runner. Longboat arrived in Toronto on April 23rd and toured through the city as thousands of people cheered him on, along with his companion, Mayor Emerson Coatsworth. A torchlight procession and three brass bands also accompanied the automobile, and walking behind it were members of dozens of athletic clubs in the city. It was estimated that 200,000 people came out to see the champion, Tom Longboat. Soon after he was celebrated as a hero, Longboat was evicted from the YMCA where he was staying. And the reasons given changed depending on who reported on it, but included breaking curfew, smoking, drinking a bottle of beer, and being in the company of a woman. His manager, Charles Ashley, would soon be out of the picture as well, replaced by Tom Flanagan, the director of the Irish-Canadian Athletic Club, who promised to take Longboat's career to the next level. In the days that followed, Longboat was asked many times if he would defend his title at the 1908 Boston Marathon. It was hoped by many that he would join fellow Canadian Jack Caffrey in the record books, not only for his time, but also by winning the Boston Marathon twice. But Tom Longboat announced he would not run in that legendary race ever again. In his mind, he had conquered that challenge, and there was no need to try again. Besides, he had another race in mind, the Olympics. In 1896, the Olympic Games had returned after a hiatus of 1,503 years, give or take a month. Well, they weren't the same as what the ancient Greeks competed in, but thanks to Baron Pierre de Coubertin, they were revived as a way to promote international peace and friendship through sports, and he helped create the International Olympic Committee, or the IOC. As I mentioned, in those first games, the marathon was one of the inaugural competitions with 17 athletes from five nations, and Greek athletes took first and second place. The marathon returned to the 1900 Olympics in Paris, and again in 1904 in St. Louis. Having won the Boston Marathon in 1907, Tom Longboat was ready to race at the 1908 Olympics in London, England. He was the favorite to win, as William Foran, a Canadian Athletic Federation official, stated, Tom Longboat will start in the Olympic marathon, and Tom Longboat will win. But the Americans were still bothered by Longboat winning the Boston Marathon and protested his attendance, stating he was not an amateur. The Toronto Evening Telegram wrote prior to the games about the American claims, Canada has been quite sufficiently sacrificed to the old country craze for pleasing the Yanks at all costs. If this craze is to be carried out of diplomacy and sport, and Longboat is to be disqualified, then every Canadian athlete owes it to his country to leave the Olympian Games. The Olympic race course was designed to be, quote, about 26 miles. Athletes would run from the Royal Entrance at Windsor Castle through Eton, Slough, Sudbury, Wembley, Wormwood Scrubs, before ending at White City Stadium, where the finish line would be in front of the Royal Box. And that about 26 miles was exactly as it sounded. In the late 1990s, marathoner John Disley measured the route of the 1908 marathon and found it was 159 meters too short to be a true marathon. With everything ready to go, 55 competitors, including Tom Longboat, lined up at the starting line on July 24th, 1908, and everything seemed to be going well for Longboat through the first half of the race. But then things began to change. Despite sitting in second place, he started to slow down and appeared to be stumbling along the course. Then, to everyone's shock, he collapsed at about 32 kilometers or a half hour from the finish line. And he wasn't the only one. Of the 55 runners who started the race, only 27 finished. The Windsor Star wrote, "Tom Longboat, the Canadian runner, gave up at the 20th mile. He was leading when he was hurt and quit. Longboat arrived in a motor at the stadium. The announcement caused laughter and cheers." Many collapsed due to dehydration, including Durando Petrie, the only man ahead of Longboat for much of the race. He fell from extreme fatigue and dehydration near the finish line. He was helped up by umpires, fell four more times, but crossed the finish line at 2 hours, 54 minutes, and 46 seconds. And while he did win the race, he was disqualified because he was aided by the umpires. After Longboat didn't finish the race, his manager accused someone of drugging him to put him out of contention, while Longboat's critics accused him of being drunk. Some claim that Longboat's manager, Tom Flanagan, had actually drugged his own runner to collect $100,000 in bets against his client. And many people weren't pleased that they didn't get to see Longboat finish the race, and they wanted to find out who truly was the best marathon runner in the world, Longboat or Petrie. Neither got a gold medal in London. Following the 1908 Olympic marathon, the world was gripped with marathon fever. Durando Petrie and Tom Longboat became two of the most famous runners in the world, and everyone clamored to see the two men, who should have vied for medals, compete against each other. And if this sounds familiar, it could be because something similar happened after the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Canadian sprinter Donovan Bailey set a world record in the 100 meters of 9.84 seconds and became the fastest man alive, which is the title given to the winner of that discipline at the Games. But when American Michael Johnson won the 200 meter race in Atlanta, Americans like sportscaster Bob Costas started to call Johnson the world's fastest man. A debate began over who was the world's fastest man, Donovan Bailey or Michael Johnson. The world had racing fever, and to determine the fastest runner, a 150 meters race was set up for June 1st, 1997. In front of 30,000 spectators at the Sky Dome, now Rogers Centre in Toronto, it would be broadcast across Canada and 54 other countries. The winner would receive the official title and $1 million. The rivalry had become bitter between Bailey and Johnson, and what happened next would cement it. Racers were on their mark, and at the sound of the starting gun, they exploded from the blocks, and Bailey, on the inside track, immediately pulled ahead. As they rounded the corner of the track, Bailey found another gear as Johnson pulled up at the 110-meter mark and slowed down to a stop, as he appeared to have a hamstring strain. Donovan Bailey was the clear winner, and the bitter rivals never mended their relationship. Johnson and Bailey weren't the first rivals to go head-to-head in front of thousands of fans either to decide the world's fastest title. It happened almost 90 years earlier at Madison Square Garden in New York City as Longboat and Petrie went head-to-head in front of a sold-out crowd. The story of Tom Longboat is a fascinating one, and when we come back, we will continue our look at the man who became world-famous for his amazing athletic abilities on the track.
You're listening to Canadian History X on QR Calgary.
This week on Model Makeover, we take the old Tiguan and upgrade it with more horsepower, more towing capacity, and accessorize the new model with cutting-edge tech and premium finishes.
Didn't expect a makeover show-style commercial for a car ad? Find more than what you're expecting at Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, where the redesigned 2025 Tiguans have arrived. Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, just off Barlow. Online at fifthavenue.com.
Simply stunning.
Steve from Green Fox Windows here, and I want to talk to you about window warranties. Every window company has warranties that sound wonderful until you look at the fine print. I mean, when you hear 25-year warranty, you naturally assume everything is covered for 25 years, right? Nope, not even close. In most cases, 25-year warranties actually only cover workmanship for 2 to 5 years, not 25. And they actually only cover the glass itself for 1 or 2 years, not 25. At Green Fox Windows, when we say 25-year warranty, we mean it. Everything about your window, from glass to seal to workmanship, everything is covered for 25 full years. No loopholes, no exceptions, no fine print. Just 25 full years of continuous, uninterrupted, worry-free warranty coverage. If that sounds good to you, call Green Fox Windows at 1-800-232-9454 or find us online at greenfoxwindows.ca.
Quality craftsmanship and handmade.
Gord Gillies here for Len T. Wong and Associates. When you're looking to buy with Len and your team, you start the search with confidence. Right from the beginning, he'll prioritize your needs. Maybe you're looking to downsize in retirement, or maybe your heart's on a starter home that's not out in the boonies. An experienced agent like Len will understand those needs, ensuring you find the home of your dreams. Len T. Wong and Associates from Greater Property Group, the city you love and the agents you trust. Call or text Len at 403-606-8888.
Now this update from the Canadian Press. The Liberals have voted against adopting a formal process to eject their leader should the need arise. The internal debate was promoted by Liberal MPs upset that former leader Justin Trudeau was able to stay at the helm despite numerous calls from caucus for him to step aside. Before the vote, Prime Minister Mark Carney delivered a speech intended to rally his Liberal caucus, laying out his governing agenda for the reopening of Parliament tomorrow. The Liberals briefly let TV cameras and reporters into their first caucus meeting since winning the April 28th election to watch Carney address his new colleagues. Meanwhile, Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre is meeting with his caucus in Ottawa, saying that he's willing to work with the Liberals in Parliament on efforts to resolve the trade war with the United States. And scientists say the decline of the snowy owl population is a concerning sign of the changes shaping Canada's Arctic. From the Canadian Press, I'm Naira Ahmed.
Exploring the good, the bad, and the weird. This is Canadian History X with Craig Baird on QR Calgary.
So far in the story of Tom Longboat, we've followed him from his home to the dark time at the residential school, to his triumph at the Boston Marathon. And while he didn't finish the Olympic marathon, there is no stopping the legend that was Tom Longboat. Coming up, he was going to show the world why he was the greatest marathon runner Canada has ever produced. Soon after the London Olympics, he had shocked the world when he announced that he would be putting away his running cleats. But the love of running was too hard to shake, and he quickly changed his mind when he ran in the Toronto Ward Marathon in the autumn of 1908 and won it for a third straight time while setting a record time. After that race, he turned professional and promptly fired his manager, Tom Flanagan. He toyed with the idea of having an unnamed Mohawk friend from Toronto represent him, but in the end, he gave Flanagan his job back. With Longboat out of retirement, plans were then made for an epic race at Madison Square Garden. It became one of the biggest sporting events of the 1900s. When doors opened on December 16, 1908, people rushed in to get a seat to watch the race. The New York Herald wrote, "No consideration was shown by the frantic mob that stormed the entrance of Madison Avenue. Women were tossed about, crushed and battered in the maelstrom of struggling men who were fighting one another in a desperate attempt to get past the barriers." While seats were selling for $2 to $3, it wasn't long before people were just taking whatever seat they could find, including reserved seats. Ushers and police were pushed to the side by the massive mob, and with the receipts of the race being $15,000, it was estimated that each runner would receive $3,750. Today, that would be worth over $100,000. In front of a sold-out crowd, Longboat and Petrie faced off at the starting line, and once they were off for much of the race, the two men were nearly neck and neck, with Longboat typically leading just ahead of Petrie. But then everything changed. Near the end of the race, Petrie suddenly collapsed and fell on the track, and many in the crowd believe he had suffered a heart attack. He was alive, but had tripped as the two men rounded the track. And like with Johnson, Petrie was accused of faking an injury rather than lose the Longboat. To this, he said later, "I did not collapse last night because the pace set by Longboat during the last mile was too fast. Rounding the turn, Longboat slowed up very suddenly and I was so close to him and tripped. Once down, I could not regain my feet." Whatever the reason, Durando Petrie did not finish and Longboat won, completing the marathon in 2 hours and 45 minutes and 5 seconds. The Montreal Gazette wrote, The scene that followed Toronto's dramatic failure in the London Stadium was nothing to what which was witnessed in Madison Square Garden last night. He tried to struggle to his feet, but failed. He was carried to his dressing room, where he was soon revived. In the meantime, Longboat shot ahead of the track in the sprint race. As the yells and Indian whoops cracked one's eardrums, he galloped in a winner. 2 weeks after that major victory and payday, Longboat crossed another milestone off the list. He got married. On December 30th, he met Lorette Miracle, a Mohawk woman who lived in Toronto, at the altar. Miracle was a Sunday school teacher, and the two had met 4 years earlier. She had been by his side at the big race at Madison Square Garden, then cheered him on to victory by saying, "It is win or lose with you." And with his biggest cheerleader by his side, Longboat was ready to conquer new worlds. Longboat may have been a champion and the best marathon runner on the planet, but that didn't stop people from using racism to criticize him. He was often called a member of a, quote, pathetic and vanishing race. Sometimes the press wrote he was poorly educated, unmanageable, and obstinate. While white athletes were said to run, newspapers stated Longboat galloped and, quote, smiled as wide as a hippo. The press portrayed Longboat not as a man who excelled at what he did. Instead, they dehumanized him and painted him as more beast than human. His nicknames focused on his heritage rather than his abilities. They included Big Chief, the Irish Indian, the Wonderful Redskin, and the Bronze Wonder. Even when he won the Boston Marathon, some newspapers congratulated the white people around him rather than Longboat. The Toronto Star wrote, "His trainers are to be congratulated for having such a docile pupil." How Longboat trained was often at the center of the criticism lobbed against him. Unusual for the time, he would have hard workouts, followed by active rest such as long walks. These recovery periods annoyed his manager, promoters, and the press, who called him lazy. This alternating of hard and easy workouts with recovery days may have been unusual for the time, but Longboat turned out to be ahead of the curve. Today, most runners train like this. And one of the loudest critics was Lou Marsh, the top Canadian sports writer of his day, who seemed to have a hate for Longboat and repeatedly wrote articles criticizing him. At one point, he wrote that Longboat was the original dummy, wily, unreliable, as hard to train as a leopard. Quotes like that in Marsh's articles is what led to the renaming of Canada's top athletic award from the Lou Marsh Memorial Trophy to the Northern Star Award in 2022. Meanwhile, the rivalry between Tom Longboat and Durando Petrie wasn't over. 5 days after Longboat's wedding on January 5, 1908, Longboat ran against him once again, this time in front of 11,000 people in Buffalo. The two runners clocked a time of 2 hours 26 minutes over the first 24 kilometers. But Petrie once again collapsed, this time at the 30-kilometer mark, into the arms of his brother. Longboat continued for the next 12 kilometers of the race and staggered across the finish line, bleeding at the knees. He won that race, but then, shortly after, lost his manager. Despite the money, or maybe because of it, Tom Flanagan complained that Longboat was unmanageable and soon sold his contract for $2,000 to a New York promoter. Flanagan said, quote, "He was all right until he started to make money. There were times when he did not feel like running, when he refused to train properly, and just generally went prima donna on me." In truth, Flanagan was looking to make money off Longboat quickly, and selling the contract was the easiest way to do that. Longboat was hurt, especially considering Flanagan had been the best man at his wedding only a month earlier. Longboat said, "He sold me just like a racehorse to make money." Regardless of the split, Longboat pressed on. In February 1909, he raced against Alfred Shrubb, who was another top runner in the British Empire, having won several championships in Britain and Canada. Shrubb and Longboat had already raced each other several times, with Shrubb winning on the shorter races and Longboat winning on the longer marathons. On February 5, 1909, Shrubb and Longboat went head-to-head against each other in front of 15,000 people at Madison Square Garden. It seemed to many in the crowd that Shrubb was going to win, as he had a 10-lap lead over Longboat by the 30-kilometer mark of the race. Believing he wasn't trying, the crowd began to boo Longboat, but he was just biding his time and waiting to strike. Shrubb was a shorter distance runner, and Longboat had the endurance to outlast him. He just needed to find his moment and attack. With 10 kilometers left in the race, Longboat suddenly surged. He lapped Shrubb, who had to slow down to a walk several times. The Toronto Daily Star wrote, "Shrubb now came down to a walk again for nearly a lap. Then he ran a couple of laps and walked again. Now Longboat was within 4 laps of him, and both men were frantically urged by their representatives, while the 12,000 people in the garden made the place a bedlam. With each lap, Longboat closed the gap until he passed Shrubb for the last time and claimed victory once again, with a time of 2 hours, 53 minutes, and 40 seconds. a full 2 minutes ahead of Shrub, who couldn't finish the race and fell into the arms of his friends, completely exhausted. The Montreal Gazette wrote, "The Englishman, unable to continue further, collapsed on the track, leaving the triumphant longboat to finish the race alone, a winner." Sadly, though, this would be the apex of longboat's running career. After 1909, back and knee problems plagued longboat. These problems were well known among the running community, but sports writers simply stated that he was not doing well due to, quote, Indian laziness. Tom Flanagan further spread rumors in the press that Longboat did not train much. Even with the negative coverage from the press and his back and knee problems, Longboat managed to win. He just wasn't as dominant. He won two races in 1911, and then in Edinburgh in 1912 set a world record for finishing 15 miles in 1 hour and 20 minutes. And crowds still came to see him run, but gone were the days of the hysteria when tens of thousands of people lined the streets to see him. If Longboat was wondering what came next, the hands of history decided for him when the First World War began in 1914. Longboat volunteered for service in February 1916, joining the 108th Sportsman Battalion. He had attempted to join earlier in the war but was turned down because he was married. This decision was eventually overturned. In France, Longboat was transferred to the 107th Timberwolf Battalion, where he was given the job of dispatch runner, and there couldn't have been someone better suited for that role. However, being a dispatch runner was incredibly dangerous. They had to deliver urgent orders and messages between headquarters and military units. When communication lines were cut during a battle, the dispatch runner was an important part of keeping communications intact. And while everyone sought shelter during a battle, dispatch runners had to leave the safety of the trenches to transport messages amid gunfire and shell explosions. When we come back, we will continue our look at the man who became world famous for his amazing athletic abilities on the track.
You're listening to Canadian History X on QR Calgary.
When you get into a new RAV4, you might suddenly find yourself camping, even if the closest you've been to nature is your houseplants. Because with all-wheel drive, you can get in and right out of there. All that's left to do is drive it home. Get in and go right now at Toyota, where you can lease a 2025 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive from $96 weekly for 60 months at 6.59% with $3,899 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Prairie Toyota dealer today.
Hi Calgary, it's Gord Gillies, inviting you to feel the joy of making an impact with the Children's Hospital Lottery. Win an adventure-ready truck and RV package, a Lincoln Navigator, plus a trip to Fiji, or a $1.4 million dream home package. Every ticket you purchase helps to change the lives of thousands of kids across Alberta. Get your tickets today at childrenshospitallottery.ca.
License 730-858, 18 plus, play responsibly.
Searplay Wild Bird Center is your one-stop shop for all things with wings. Did you know with warmer weather here, more birds are arriving and they're creating greater competition for food? Having a variety of feeders and the correct food types will help attract different species of birds. Searplay's Wild Bird Center has a vast array of feeders, plus a great selection of feed types available in a few sizes, including our bulk by the pound bins. Visit Searplay Wild Bird Center, 2604 Kensington Road Northwest, or at fairplaywildbird.com.
Hey, hon, did you see if last week's hail dented the shed?
No, but yesterday's hail definitely found the fence.
Well, today's hail got the car out front. At least now it matches the fence.
That is one way of looking at it.
Severe weather in Alberta is becoming an everyday part of life, and we all pay the price. In fact, last year was one of the worst ever. Canada's insurance industry is working hard to help you adapt, recover, and protect the things we love. Learn more at ibc.ca/tomorrow.
Now open, discover the brand new Heartwood Show Home from Bedrock Homes. Be one of the first 15 buyers and lock in special low introductory pricing. Choose the spacious Stella, a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with double front garage, over 2,000 square feet, all for under $699K. Or go with one of our single family rear laned homes, starting under $599K. Bedrock Homes, move in ready and quick possession front drive or laned. It's your style, your home. Visit our show home in the community of Heartwood today or visit us at bedrockhomes.ca.
I'm Susan Holzman with the Calgary Children's Foundation. QR Calgary is happy to welcome Agnew Insurance, representing cooperators, as our hero of the month. Agnew Insurance is well known for their outstanding service when it comes to your insurance and financial needs. What you might not know is their dedication to their community and local charities. This month, Agnew Insurance will be making a generous donation to the Calgary Children's Foundation to help make the lives of children better in our community. Join QR Calgary as we salute Agnew Insurance as our hero of the month.
Measles outbreaks are occurring in Canada, including Alberta. These outbreaks are highly preventable. Measles is an extremely contagious disease that is spread easily through the air. The best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community is to ensure you are up to date with your immunizations. Don't get measles. Get immunized. Visit alberta.ca/measles to find out if you're up to date and what to do if you're not. A message from the Government of Alberta.
Gord Gillies here with Debbie Franchuk, RN and co-owner of Home Instead. Debbie, you provide a wide range of support services to help keep seniors living in their homes longer. How do you make sure there's a good match?
Well, Gord, it starts with our hiring. We're very fussy with our hires. We only hire about 1% to 2% of the applicants that actually apply to us.
Are families involved in finding the right person for their loved one?
Absolutely. We collaborate with the families to understand their loved one's hobbies, interests, maybe their meal preferences. That matching is the magic.
Deb, what do you say to families who may feel guilty about the need to bring in care?
Oh, please don't feel guilty. You're doing the right thing. You're helping your loved ones so that they can live with dignity and respect right where they want to remain, in their own home.
When your elderly loved one needs more care, choose Home Instead as your care partner. Home Instead provides highly personalized home care for the loved ones in your life, wherever they call home. Visit homeinsteadcalgary.com.
Hey, it's Ben Mulrooney. There's a thought out there that the best time to put out bad news publicly is while other major news is breaking. Oftentimes, these are smaller, yet still important stories that get missed. Well, that's not going to happen on our show, because I've got one that I want to share and give the attention to it that it deserves, especially because it affects so many Canadians. Plus, we'll set the table for King Charles' throne speech coming up, what to expect, and what does it signal about how Mark Carney will govern.
The Ben Mulrooney Show, noon to 2, weekday afternoons on QR Calgary.
Taking a deep dive into our country's beautiful, dark, and sometimes totally bizarre past. This is Canadian History X with Craig Baird on QR Calgary.
We have seen highs and lows in the life of Tom Longboat, from his glory days on the track to his bravery and heroics as he entered the First World War. But there's much more to tell in his story, so let's get back to the story of Tom Longboat. During the First World War, Longboat was wounded twice, and twice declared dead in the newspapers. One rumor swirled that Longboat had entered a communication trench and was buried by a shell blast. For 6 days, he was buried until he was finally rescued. In 1919, Longboat stated that this was not true. These false reports had a major impact on Longboat's personal life as well. His wife, who believed he was dead, remarried, and after she found out he was alive, she decided not to leave her new husband. During the war, Longboat served in both Passchendaele and Vimy Ridge, rose to the rank of Lance Corporal, and won several inter-battalion sporting contests, including a 13-kilometer race at the Canadian Corps Dominion Day competitions on July 1, 1918. But while Longboat was in Europe, a man impersonating him was touring around the United States and making a lot of money while doing it. Edgar LaPlante was a con man and liar. Born in Rhode Island, he spent his adult life conning businessmen, befriending politicians, and seducing women by posing as everything from Chief White Elk to American war heroes. He was able to meet Edward VIII during a visit to England by calling himself Prince Tawana Ray and left behind a series of unpaid bills and loans that he never intended to repay. Unfortunately, the most famous marathon runner in the world, Tom Longboat, was just another victim to LaPlante. LaPlante didn't steal money directly from Longboat. Instead, he stole his identity to con others out of their money. And while Longboat was serving his country overseas, LaPlante started to travel around the United States giving concerts and lectures while collecting a lot of money and appearance fees in the process. And it seemed that no one in the United States cared to double-check just how Longboat could be in France and the United States at the same time. In August 1917, LaPlante, under Longboat's name, enlisted as a civilian crewman with the U.S. Army Transport Service. This made news across the United States, and most newspapers used a photo of LaPlante who looked nothing like Longboat. To add insult to injury, when a newspaper did question who the real Longboat was, the one in France or the one in the United States, they often sided with Laplante. In Canada, the newspapers were less fooled. In France, Longboat heard about Laplante and wrote a letter to the imposter threatening legal actions. Yet even when American newspapers circulated the letter by Longboat, they ran photos of Laplante instead. Eventually, though, Laplante gave up the Longboat charade and moved on to other cons. Made his way to Switzerland, where he was arrested and spent a year in jail. Then in 1925, he was arrested in Italy and spent 4 years in jail. He eventually died in New York City in 1944. As for Longboat, he returned home from the First World War, ready to return to civilian life. The Toronto Star wrote on May 10, 1919, when Longboat arrived back home in Toronto. Tom didn't have much to say but smiled a broad smile when another Tom, Tommy Church, mayor, took off the Indian's khaki cap and commented upon his luxuriant growth of black hair. As soon as he returned, Longboat began to race again. He still won races and delayed the crowds, but the races were getting more difficult. In 1920, he was 34 and reaching the end of his running career. That year, he decided to take up a homestead in the Canadian West using a soldier's grant provided by the federal government. But the 1920s were difficult years for him. His homestead never produced much, and he worked various jobs in Edmonton. To make money, he pawned his racing medals. They were never claimed and eventually melted down for the gold. After 2 years, Longboat returned to Toronto, where he was met by his former manager, who gave him a corned beef sandwich at the train station. The man who always had a bone of contention about Longboat, Lou Marsh, wrote, "He started out on corn pone, worked up to caviar, and now is tickled to get corned beef." Eventually, Longboat found a job with the City of Toronto, in the street clean department, where he cleaned the streets and collected garbage, which delighted some journalists who wrote, "A rubbish man, a particularly nice rubbish man, an Indian rubbish man." Longboat worked for the department for the next 19 years, and during that time, things began to improve. He met Martha Silversmith in Toronto, with whom he had 4 children. His legend still loomed large as well. Runners often sought him out for advice, the Windsor Star wrote. His advice was something to be sought, and his wide experience helped many young men in the marathon field. His great bit of advice was to save strength at the beginning of a race and use it to finish. When reporters took pictures of him working in his overalls and asked him what it was like to be cleaning streets when he was once racing for thousands of people, he said, "I'm doing all right, just living along." But it seemed tragedy was never far off for Longboat. In 1932, he was attending the Canadian National Exhibition with his family when radio reporter Jane Gray asked him to give an interview where she asked if he wanted to say hello to anyone. Longboat stated he wanted to speak to his 5-year-old son, Charles. Some of Charles' friends heard this on the radio and yelled for him to come listen. And as he ran across the road to get to the radio, he was hit by a car and killed. For the rest of his life, Longboat kept the CNE pennant he and his wife had bought that day, and eventually passed on to one of his sons following his wife's death. In 1936, Lou Marsh, the man who loved tearing into Longboat in his articles, passed away. When asked for comment, Longboat, ever the gentleman, said, "He was one of the finest men I ever met." When the Second World War broke out, Garbage Man Longboat, as the newspapers insisted on calling him now, enlisted to serve with the Home Guard. During this time, a new imposter stole his identity to get drinks at a tavern. It led to newspapers writing stories about Longboat's alleged alcoholism, and this was not the case at all. It got so bad that Longboat eventually sent a picture of himself to the newspapers to stop what he called a two-bit imposter from damaging his reputation. In 1944, Longboat retired to spend his time with his family and took long walks to Hagersville and back, 11 kilometers each market day. On January 9, 1949, Longboat passed away in Brantford from pneumonia. Upon his death, the Calgary Albertan wrote, "The courageous Indian brought many running titles to Canada and made Ontario running mad. It is said the parks and back lanes of the Ontario capital were cluttered with aspiring youngsters whose ambition became his successor." The Windsor Star eulogized him by writing, "To Canadians born around the turn of the century or a little later, the name Tom Longboat meant as much as Babe Ruth did in a later era." Tom Longboat was buried with new moccasins on his feet, while from head to toe he was clothed in new cotton and woolen garments crafted by his family. But since his death, how has Longboat been honored? There was a time when Tom Longboat was so famous, he received fan mail from movie stars like Clark Gable. Everyone knew his name and he graced newspapers across the planet. And after death, the name Tom Longboat was not about to disappear. In 1951, the Tom Longwood Awards were created and given to an outstanding Indigenous athlete in each Canadian province. 4 years later, Longboat was inducted into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame. In 1976, he was designated as a National Historic Person by the federal government. In 2000, a stamp was issued by Canada Post to honor him, and in 2013, Tom Longboat Lane was opened in Toronto. That same year, June 4th was declared to be Tom Longboat Day in Ontario. In 2018, a Google Doodle was created to celebrate his life, and in 2022, possibly the biggest honor for a Canadian occurred when a Heritage Minute was made about him.
I'm God Greg. My name means everything.
Tom Longboat.
I am Wolf Clan, Onondaga Nation. I've run many different races. I've run to survive and to be free. I've run to win for honor.
His people might be lazy, but this one's damn fast.
My people respected our runners, people who carried important messages from village to village.
I need a guide to the next post.
Dispatch carrier, sir. I can get you there.
God's sake, sir, slow down. Who do you think I am, Tom Longboat?
No, sir. I am.
Running makes me feel alive. It's everything.
Tom Longboat was the first Indigenous person to win the Boston Marathon. He ran his way to international fame and became an inspiration to generations of athletes.
This show is researched, produced, and written by me, Craig Baird, with the help of Dila Velasquez. Audio production and design by Rosalind Kufor. We love hearing from you, so if you have a show topic you want me to cover, email me at craig@canadaehx.com. Or stop by my website and social media. I'll include all of those in my show notes. Until next time, I'm Craig Baird, and this is Canadian History X.
In a world where it's easy to get wrapped up in distractions, we need to stop and ask an important question. Will you say yes to mental health? Put down your cell phone, turn off the TV and the laptop, and just ask, what does saying yes to mental health mean to you? Is it getting yourself counseling, supporting a loved one, or donating time or money to an urgently needed mental health program? Whatever saying yes to mental health means to you, please visit woodshomes.ca and say yes today.
Say hello to the sounds of summer and the taste of something delicious. Save-On Foods' new signature summer flavors. Fresh cheddar, onion and ale, or teriyaki pineapple burgers. Smoky Canadian maple rotisserie chicken marinated with maple syrup and spices. Our signature salsa, sweet and tangy. And don't forget our signature Saskatoon berry pie, baked fresh in store. Savor summer flavors. Get them before they're gone. Only at Save-On Foods.
Come on in to Home Network.
Welcome home!
And find experts who feel like family.
This is spectacular. I was not expecting this.
Ideas to inspire your everyday.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And stories that will touch your heart.
Oh my God!
I love that big family hug.
There's no place like it. Welcome to Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Color Spark Paint. It starts with a spark.
Feel the joy of making an impact with the Children's Hospital Lottery. Your ticket directly supports the equipment that helps children across Alberta get the life-saving care they need. Buy your tickets today.
License 730-858. 18 plus. Play responsibly. Global Fest returns this August, and you don't want to miss Calgary's most spectacular light show. Get your tickets now. For over 20 years, Global Fest celebrates a world of difference year-round with epic cultural performances at Heritage Park, daily multicultural programming at the Calgary Stampede, and so much more. Global Fest Summer Camp for Refugee and Immigrant Teens helps build community, connection, confidence, and a sense of belonging because culture connects us all. Head to globalfest.ca and dive into the fire, fun, and festivity.
From Mount Royal to Edgemont, Canmore to Cochrane, you'll see beautiful Mountain View sun decks all over southern Alberta. That's because Mountain View's low-maintenance sun decks are built to last. Using only the highest quality materials and installation standards, every deck is custom designed for your home and your lifestyle and comes with a 5-year builder warranty.
We take pride in our decks.
No deposit is required, and you don't pay till the job is done. Visit MountainViewSunDecks.com.
Your package and parcel deliveries are a priority to you, and it's a priority to Overnight Expedite. For over 20 years, Overnight Expedite has been delivering for Albertans with local and reliable service. Letters, boxes, or pallets. If it needs to be there tomorrow, Overnight Expedite will get it there. From the oil sands site in Fort Mac to Grandma's house in Red Deer, get it there with Overnight Expedite, ensuring your package arrived on time, every time. Proudly part of the One Transport Group. Visit shipexpedite.com for details.
Filling your speakers with live Stampeders football. Get ready for the next exciting game on QR Calgary.
The Stamps gallop into the season with a visit from the Hamilton Tiger Cats Saturday, June 7th. QR Calgary has all the action with your pregame show at 3:30 and your kickoff at 5.
All the hits, all the plays, all season long. Stampeders football on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Tom's House of Pizza. Serving Calgarians pizza made to perfection since 1963.
Honey, I thought you said you were going to deal with these ants once and for all.
It's time you bring in Canada's trusted pest control experts, BuzzBoss, with guaranteed results and easy online booking.
Take back your yard. BuzzBoss Home Pest Defense, online at BuzzBoss.com.
Want to hear us on your Amazon Echo device? Simply say, Alexa, play QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Thomas Dias. It's 24 degrees at 5 o'clock. Prime Minister Mark Carney says his first priority when Parliament starts up this week will be on affordability measures such as a tax cut he promised during a recent election campaign. Carney gave a speech intended to rally his Liberal caucus this afternoon that laid out his governing agenda for the reopening of Parliament. He promises it will be one of the busiest returns to Parliament ever.
Our government has been elected to do nothing less than define a new economic and security relationship with the United States and build, and there's a lot of ands in what I'm about to say, and build the strongest economy that works for everyone. Canadians also want their life to become more affordable. They want their communities safer.
Carney says he will immediately introduce legislation to fast-track infrastructure projects deemed to be in a national interest and eliminate all federal barriers to internal trade. Pierre Poilievre is signaling that the Liberals might have some conservative support when it comes to resolving Canada's trade war with the U.S. The conservative leader met with his caucus today, saying he's willing to cooperate with the Liberals when it comes to reestablishing Canada's sovereignty and economic independence.
I've already told the Prime Minister that we are happy to cooperate any way we can to bring about an end to this unnecessary dispute and restore not just our sovereignty, but also tariff-free access.